Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. As Christians, we really do not understand the overwhelming value of revelation. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "I want to know Christ." In Christ and in our Bible, we have the opportunity to get more and more understanding, knowledge, and insight into who Jesus really is. We have the opportunity to know Him better and to experience increasing life in Him. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn and be convicted of the overwhelming value of revelation. Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. Early Tuesday morning here in Texas, just came from Bible study with the guys where we were just digging in the Word of God, just studying the Scriptures, really looking to apply the Scriptures, looking to be washed in the water of the Word of God. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about the incredible value of revelation. How much revelation is worth. What is revelation? Revelation is understanding, truly having knowledge and understanding of who Jesus really is and having understanding of the Word of God, of understanding the heart of Jesus and the will of Jesus for the express purpose that you can do it, that you can obey Him, that you can practice what He's told you to do, that you might grow to know Him. It's the meaning of life. We don't in the church today, regrettably, very few Christians value revelation. We don't understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to go deeper and deeper and deeper in our revelation of who Jesus Christ is, right? I mean, the Bible has 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and the last book of the Bible, as you know, is named Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the uncovering of Jesus, that we might know Jesus, that we might know Him, that we might know His heart, that we might know His words. I mean, again, we talked about it today. Proverbs 1:23. I cannot say this enough. Proverbs 1:23. It's a verse you want to have memorized. I talked to the guys about it this morning. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, look at verse 23. How are we going to get more revelation? Well, you're going to get it by spending more time in the Scriptures. You're going to get it by spending more time in prayer. You're going to get it by engaging the Holy Spirit, who, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ today, lives in you. You're going to get it by listening to teachings like these, listening to ministers that are teaching the Word of God, that are expositing the Word of God. And you're going to get it even more than all of this from Proverbs 1:23 that says what? Proverbs 1:23, Jesus is saying this to you and me. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. If you have a lifestyle of repentance, What's so incredible about this, Jesus says, again, it's Proverbs 1:23, wisdom is speaking, Jesus is our wisdom. If you had responded to my rebuke, your heavenly Father's telling you, if you had responded to the correction, when you read and study the Word of God, if we'll respond to it, if we'll repent, I've said so many times, y'all, repentance is the greatest tool in our toolbox as believers. Because Jesus doesn't even tell us, the word doesn't even tell us here what it is you've done wrong or I've done wrong that we need to be rebuked. And believe me, there's a lot in my life for which I need to be rebuked. And the reason I need to be rebuked is I didn't respond to correction. Jesus will first bring correction. But when correction isn't enough, then rebuke comes. Okay? And if that doesn't work, then just flat punishment and discipline comes into our life in the way of hardship, trials, difficulties, and however they come in. They can come in relationships. They can come in financially. They can come in our health. Just difficulties and hardships in our life, our Heavenly Father uses to discipline us. But here's the good news. If you had responded to my rebuke, what's the blessing here for responding and repenting over any area of your life that's out of place? Step back and examine your life. And what are the areas of your life where you know that are out of place? Things you're doing that you know are not the will of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sin that you're living in. Okay. And again, don't just look at just like overt sin. Okay. So you're not in adultery. That's good. You haven't killed anyone. That's good. But perhaps you gossip a little bit too much, right? Perhaps you really don't use your words very well. Perhaps you have a habit of using, you know, foul language. Perhaps you lie a little bit. Perhaps you're selfish. As I look into myself, I can consistently see areas where, you know, I'm too self-centered, where I want my own way. You want to repent over that because the scripture clearly teaches us that none of these things are the will of Christ, right? Or perhaps you've been apathetic. Perhaps you're not spending time in the Word of God. Perhaps you really don't pray that much and you hardly ever pray for others. That's selfish, right? You want to repent over that. And when you do, the promise of Proverbs 1:23, if you had responded to my rebuke, look at this, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you, you would have greater revelation of who Jesus is. Is there anything better in the world, in this life, than knowing the heart of Christ, having greater revelation of who Jesus is? No. The answer is no. The more you know Jesus, the more intimately you walk with him, the more you love him, the more you know his love for you, everything in your life will get better. Everything in your life will take on more power and more meaning and more purpose. Man, I'll tell you, I got to slow down. I'm getting too excited here. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, your grace and your love on our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this word of God, Father. And we do want to get greater revelation of who you are, Father, of who you are, Lord Jesus. We want to know you better, Holy Spirit. We want to have deeper relationship with each member, Father, of our triune God. We want to know you better. Holy Spirit, convict us that we would respond to the correction and rebuke, that we would begin to get in order, that we would joyfully repent over the areas of our life where we're living in ways that are not pleasing to you, or we're just living selfish and self-centered lives where we're not just walking with you more, Lord, looking to please you more, looking to obey you more, looking to serve you more, looking to serve others more. We want you to pour out your heart to us, Jesus. We want to know your heart. We want to know your thoughts. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen. We worship you today. Again, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us now. Please open our hearts today that we might get greater revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Golly. Again, if you turn to Revelation, the last book of the Bible called Revelation, and as you've heard me say, the incredible value, the overwhelming value, maybe we'll change that title, Stephen, to the overwhelming value, because incredible, I mean, we can just get to where we gloss over these words. The overwhelming value of Revelation. And we can go deeper and revelation of Jesus. We could have more and more and more and more to the extent that we pursue him, right? But, and I think it's Jeremiah 29. I'll turn there. It could be verses 12, 13, 14, one of those verses. But, you know, and I could be wrong about this, but it's, you know, again, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Man, then Matthew chapter 7, these verses just flooded into my mind, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. The value of revelation, there's no, it's overwhelming. But the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the 66th book that completes this incredible holy Bible. Remember, your Bible's a holy Bible. It's the perfect, flawless Word of God made up into 66 separate books. The last one, the 66th book, completes the Word of God, completes the full revelation of Scripture that started in Genesis and ends in Revelation. In Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says, what's it a revelation of? The revelation of Jesus Christ. There is no understanding of God, no meaning of God, no purpose in God, no God at all save Jesus. Okay? Our God is a triune God, one being, three separate distinct individual persons, God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, you have personal relationship with each person. There is no relationship. If you're not in Jesus today, you have no relationship with the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Even if you are in Jesus, your relationship is not at all with the generic being God. There is no relationship with a generic being. Even in our life, in our human life, you don't relate to other people as human being. Your relationship is not with what they are, human beings. You don't walk around calling each other human being. Your relationship is with who they are. You have relationship not with the human being, but with your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your friend or Stephen or Tom or Jesse or Dustin or Jose or Josh or Eddie. You have relationship with who they are. Your relationship with God is with God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And this only happens if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you get to know your Father better by knowing Jesus better. The greater revelation you have of Jesus, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, because there is no revelation of God save Jesus, in Jesus, for Jesus, to Jesus, through Jesus. I mean, there's so much here, there's no words. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Bam. Verse 15, speaking of Jesus, Colossians 1 says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created, Jesus, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him, Jesus, and for him, Jesus. Verse 17, Colossians 1, he is before all things, Jesus, and in him, Jesus, all things hold together. Jesus is the fabric that's holding the universe together. That's what that says, right? Colossians 1, 17, he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Yeah, so we kind of want to get a deeper revelation of Jesus. We want to get greater revelation of the Word of God. Your life and my life, is about having more revelation of the Word of God and the Son of God, the Son of God and the Word of God. Everything else will take care of itself. That's Matthew 6:33 right there. Seek first the kingdom of God, God the Son, Jesus, and his righteousness, right relationship, right loving, right living for Jesus. And Jesus said everything else will handle itself. Everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will be given to you. Because everything else is worth less. Worth less in comparison to revelation. As a matter of fact, if we put the two words worth less together, you come up with worthless. And in reality, everything else is worthless in comparison to knowing Jesus. Matter of fact, Paul called him trash. I mean, this is off the chain. I mean, this just again, I didn't have any of this prepared. The Holy Spirit's just, you know, popping this into my head now. But Jesus is worth so much. Go back a book to Philippians and look what Paul says. Let's look. Paul says in verse 4 of Philippians 3. Paul says, I have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, in this life, and you know what you're doing in this life and all that there is in this life, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. You want to think about this life and all you got going for you in this life? Paul said, I got more than you, believe me. But look where we're going. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, more zealous for God than anyone ever, although his zeal was totally off. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless, perfect. I mean, he was crazed to try to serve God, but he had rejected Jesus right up until Acts 9, where Jesus knocks him off his high horse, blinds him. Saul falls to the ground, and Jesus speaks to him directly from heaven, says, why are you persecuting me? He's blinded. Saul gets up, goes back. Ananias is sent to him. Go read it in Acts 9. And the biggest persecutor of the Christian, of all Christians, he was having Christians put to death, becomes the greatest apostle, the greatest Christian ever. Paul wrote 20% of the Bible. Paul wrote 13 of the 66 books in the Bible. He wrote half the New Testament. Wow. And what does he say? He just told you about all his credentials, all he had going for him in this life. Verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, anything in this life that we think is worth anything, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, Philippians 3, verse 8, compared to the surpassing greatness of what? Knowing Christ, having a revelation of who Jesus is, getting a deeper revelation of Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Trash. Worth, not only worth less, worthless. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Verse 10, you ought to have this verse memorized. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want a deeper revelation of the Son of God. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You want to know what resurrection life is. If you're in Jesus today, if you're trusting in Jesus, clinging in Jesus, you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've humbled yourself before Jesus, acknowledged yourself a hopeless, desperate, worthless, hell-bound sinner, knowing that without Jesus, only hell awaits. And from that place, that understanding, you've gone before Jesus in prayer and called out to him, asked him to save you, proclaimed your faith in him, your belief that he is who he says he is, the Son of God, God the Son. You believe that your God, God the Son, Jesus, actually entered this world even for you, lived that perfect, righteous life on your behalf that you could never live, died a horrible, torturous death on the cross on your behalf and in your place that you deserve to die, and was raised from the dead. You believe that, and now you're trusting in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sin, salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hear me, it's not your words that save you, but you use your words to communicate your heart to Jesus. So when it says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, when you go before the Lord in prayer and call out to him sincerely, knowing your need of him, believing who he is, who he says he is, believing he's done what he's done, believing that he's been raised from the dead, you genuinely call out to him from that place, God has given his word. It's a promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not just puppeting words. It's obviously the genuineness and sincerity of your heart. You will be saved. Saved means to be rescued. Rescued from what? Rescued from an eternity in hell where every person who hasn't received Jesus has to pay for their sin. And you never get it paid off. But if you've received Christ, Jesus has taken all of your sin, past, present, and future, to himself at the cross. He's absorbed it for you. And in exchange for all of our sin, he's given you his perfect, righteous life. That incredible exchange is the heart of the Christian gospel. All of my sin that I have ever committed or will ever commit is credited to Jesus at the cross. He opens his arms and takes it with that incredible love, and then credits me with the perfect righteous life that he actually lived for 33 and a half years when he walked this earth. Now, if you're in Christ today, you've received Jesus. The resurrected Jesus is living in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. You have resurrection Christ, and your goal, your whole life needs to be Philippians 3:10. My whole life, I want to know Christ, Paul said. I want a deeper revelation of Christ. Can you see this overwhelming value of revelation? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We really don't have revelation of the power of the resurrection life that lives in us as believers in Jesus Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And then this right here is like, I mean, this must be some kind of grown-up Christian. Paul says, in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, Paul knows becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain from the resurrection of the dead, Philippians 3. Paul actually wants to fellowship, to join in the sufferings of Christ. He knows that when he's suffering for Christ, he's on the other side going to get a revelation of the power of the resurrection of Christ. I didn't write it. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I mean, I don't do well when I'm suffering because I'm a baby. And again, suffering for us can come in many ways. Trials, difficulties, hardships. Very few of us suffer for, you know, being persecuted for Christ, although some do. But you may be suffering with sickness, or you may be suffering, you know, financial difficulties. We can suffer for Christ in a lot of ways. Paul actually wants to share in his sufferings because he knows that the more he's identified with the death and the suffering of Christ, the more he'll have greater revelation of what it means to have the resurrection life of Christ living in him. Wow. I mean, it's incredible. I had told you that, you know, your life is about getting deeper revelation of who your heavenly Father is, of who Jesus is, of who the Holy Spirit is. There is no revelation of God Okay. There's a revelation of your heavenly Father, who certainly is God, but he's God the Father. You have to get to know your Father as Father, right? Jesus, when he walked the earth, when he addressed God, when he was actually addressing God, guess how many times he addressed him as God when he was talking to him? Once. When he was hanging on the cross, when he had become sin, when he took all the sin of the world, your and my sin, into himself, and the relationship that he had with his heavenly Father was fractured for the first time in all eternity. Jesus feels a fracture, and no more is he experiencing relationship with the Father. He's experiencing the wrath of God. No more Father. And he cries out, as you recall, my God, why have you forsaken me? 186 times up to that time, when he spoke to him, he called him Father, my Father, 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 Father. Because he had relationship with his Father, and the Father with the Son, and the Holy Spirit with the Father, and the Father with the Holy Spirit. You get to know your Father. You get to know Jesus, and you get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you can't have a personal relationship without a person, right? So what I'm hammering home here is getting revelation. You don't get a greater revelation of the generic being God. Just like you would not get deeper revelation of who your wife is just by knowing that she's a human being. That's what she is. What God is God. Who your wife is, right? Betty, right? Whatever her name is. You get greater revelation and understanding of getting to know who she is. Your wife, Betty. What she is as a human being, right? That's the generic being that she is. What God is God. To get to know him better, you have to know him as Father, as Son, Jesus, and as the Holy Spirit. And the only way to do that, the only way to get greater revelation of who God the Father is, God the Son, Jesus is, and God the Holy Spirit is through Jesus. You cannot have any revelation of God the Father save Jesus. You can't grow to know who the Father is save growing and know who Jesus is. You can't grow to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to point you to Jesus. Look at John 14. John 14. Philip says in verse 8, Lord, Philip said, John 14, 8, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father. Now you notice Philip did not show us God. Philip has this revelation that he wants to know God as Father. So show me, revelation, is what Philip is asking for, revelation of the Father. Look what Jesus answered, and I'll end here. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? John 14, 9, don't you know me? Don't you have a revelation of me, Philip? Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? It's a remarkable statement. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You don't get to know Jesus by knowing the Father. You have no revelation of the Father save Jesus. It's Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, that entered this world and took on humanity for you, added humanity to his deity. And as you get greater revelation of Jesus, Revelation 1, chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you get to know the Father better. You get to know Jesus better. You get to know the Holy Spirit better. You get greater revelation. And that revelation leads to deeper relationship and intimacy with your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Star Lord, and the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the incredible value of revelation. So go now. Begin to seek Jesus more. Again, remember, it's the Son of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. More time in the Bible, but for today, just begin to be thankful for the revelation of Jesus that you have. And like Paul, let's spend our lives wanting to know Jesus better, to know him better, to love him more, to know his love for us more, to obey him more, to please him more, that we might have more revelation of him. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you, Father. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful, Father, for our Bible. We're thankful for the Son of God and the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us now. Please seal this message to our hearts. Convict us that we would have hearts, and we would be intentional in pursuing Jesus Christ our Lord more and more and more and more in every way, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally, that we might know you, Jesus, might know you, Father, and might know you, Holy Spirit, better and better. Our hearts are to have more revelation of Jesus, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.